Well, happy Easter. Good morning. Wasn't that amazing with the worship this morning? Give it up for these guys. You know, and you need to know that they have been working hard. They have been here for already three services. This is their fourth services, and every service that they led worship, it just kept getting better and better and better. And listen, you came to the fourth one. That means you came to the best one. And so you're here, and man, I just if you see a worship person today, you know, make sure you give them a grateful thank you for serving. And for the last couple of days, they have given up a lot of their time this past week. Our tech team back here, and they just have been working hard so that we could present Jesus in a powerful, powerful way. And so if you're here with us and you're first time, welcome. My name is Pastor Scott, and we're just honored that you're here today to worship. A lot of churches today that you could have gone to, you could have gone anywhere, but you chose to come here today, and we hope and pray that you'll be blessed by the service this morning. And so as you came in, there's a couple of things that we gave out, and hopefully you got a program. And inside the inside the program, some church calls it a bulletin. We call it a program here. And inside the program, a lot of different things that are happening here at Lake Point. And make sure you get a chance and look it over. And I just want you to know that you're invited to be a part of all that we have going on here. Whether it's your first time or you're here all the time, you know, get plug in and see what's coming up. We've got all kinds of things happening. Mother's Day service right around the corner. And so we just want you to make sure you're aware of these things. But the most important thing in your program is what we call a connection card. And we just want you to take a minute, and no matter who you are, you've been here for 15 years since we've started, or you've been here a few weeks, or this is your first time. You know, we ask you just take a minute and fill your card out, and then at the end of the service, you can drop it in one of our offering baskets throughout the building. And we're doing something we haven't done in a while, and so we need your participation if you can. But every card that gets turned in, we will give $5 to an amazing ministry that we had last week. They came last Sunday and shared their ministry called Love for a Child. And so every card that gets turned in, $5 is going to go to Love for a Child. And so you can take advantage of this with your entire family. If you're the family of five sitting in your row, if you all individually turn in a card, the husband fill out his name, wife fill out your name, you know, and fill out the information, you know, teenage son, teenage daughter, whoever, you should fill out that card. Now, you might say, well, we all didn't get a program. There are ways to turn in a connection card. You don't have to have one of these. You can also do a connection card through our Lake Point Church app. And so you can look for our app and go to a connection card right there on the homepage. It's the same thing. And so if you don't have the app, it's very easy to download. Go to Google or Apple Store, and you can search for Lake Point Church, Michigan, because we're not the only Lake Point Church in America. So you got to find Lake Point, Michigan. And if you do that, you'll see our app. Download it. You'll see our connection card. And every physical or digital connection card that gets turned in, $5 will go towards Love for a Child. And so hopefully you'll be involved with that. At the end, we'll give you a little bit more details about Love for a Child and all that good stuff and what they're doing. They're doing some incredible foster care ministry all throughout our state. And we're the proud partners of what they're doing. And we are inviting you to be a part of that today by turning in your connection card. All right, that sound good? That's good. All right, here's the second thing that you should have received. As you came in, you should have got a puzzle piece. Maybe not as big as mine, but maybe you got a puzzle piece. And you're probably wondering why you got a puzzle piece. And we're going to talk about that here in just a few minutes. But how many of you here in this room, you love to do a good puzzle? You love puzzles. All right, here we go. And I can really, you know, I love doing puzzles. And the harder, and then the more pieces, the better. So I like to be challenged, right? Don't give me the easy stuff. Give me the hard stuff. And if you know, I can get very, very involved in the puzzle. I mean, I can be standing, and I'm always standing. I'm never doing it sitting down. I'm standing, got the table right here, got all the pieces flip out, you know, and all facing up. I got the, you know, I got all the corners, and I got all the straight edges over here. And I'm you know, I got to organize, you know. And then I'm just looking, and I could be standing for hours, and I'm standing. And then I find myself in the puzzle zone. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The puzzle zone. And that's when the pieces, they just start showing up. They just start coming to you, you know. And you're just, man, you're in the mode. You know, this is it. It's in the zone. And so that makes you stand a little bit longer doing it. And you're working it. And then after, you know, an hour, maybe longer or so, you know, I stand up. I've been like this the whole time. I stand up and my back locked up. I have been injured by doing a puzzle. And so I've got to call the chiropractor. I show up the next day to the chiropractor's office, and, you know, he goes to our church here, Dr. Scott. And the way it's laid out, his chiropractor is, it's kind of like an open room. And so he's like, there's other patients around, and he can tell I'm walking in like a Frankenstein monster, you know. I'm just stiff, you know. And he can see, he says, Scott, what's wrong with you, man? And it's so embarrassing. I mean, there's other people in the room. I'm like, you know, I want to tell him, here's what I want to tell him. I don't want to tell him the truth. I want to tell him a lie. You know, I want to tell him that I was golfing and I hit the best drive of my life, 350 plus yards, but he knew that I would be lying if I told him that, all right? So I look at him and I said, well, Dr. Scott, I got the bad case of the puzzleitis. You know, I get real scientific. He said, the puzzleitis? What is that? Oh, man, I hurt myself doing a puzzle. And it sounds so terrible. It sounds so weak. And he's like, oh, man, how do you do that? I said, don't, let's just fix me, all right? Just take care of me. All right? And of course he does. He'll straighten me up and take care of me and I'll get some relief. But I don't know about you, but, you know, when you get to a puzzle and you're getting down to the end of it, you know, you've been working on it for days, maybe for a couple of weeks. You've been working hard on this puzzle, and you're getting down to the last stretch, right? It's down to the end. You see it coming together, and you're really excited because you're ready to finish this puzzle, and then it comes down to that last piece, and it's missing. I'm telling you, it's the worst feeling in the world. I mean, you're looking for the pieces, okay, you start on the floor, and you're scouring the floor and the carpet, and you're looking around, and before you know it, you're flipping the house upside down, right? Looking for that one last missing piece. It's the worst, right? And finally, after a couple of days, you can't find it, and so what do? You pack the, you know, you take the puzzle, and you put it back in the box, and then always without fail, the next day, you pull out of your pocket, right, the missing piece. You had it in your pocket the whole time, right? And so it's the worst thing in the world. But today, we want to talk about the missing piece. The missing piece. And in your hand, you have a puzzle piece. And you're probably wondering, Scott, why a puzzle piece? Talking about it on Easter Sunday of all Sundays. And as I think about this, your puzzle piece in your hand tells a very powerful story. At first, that puzzle piece seems very random. It doesn't make sense. You don't have a framework. You don't really have a big picture to work with, and so it feels disconnected. You're not sure what it belongs to. And I think about us, and many times in our life, it's a good resemblance of who we are and what we think. Many people feel disconnected. Many people feel misplaced, confused. And I don't know if you ask these questions. Maybe you've asked them out loud, maybe quietly in your heart. But you've asked these questions about your life, like, why am I here? Where do I fit in? Where do I belong? And we ask these great questions about life and about where we belong to, and many of us would go through life not knowing where we fit, not knowing where we belong. And today, I'm hoping that as we talk about the missing piece, I hope that you'll see where Easter comes in, and it's the key to the life that you're looking for. As you can see, I have a puzzle board behind me, and it's very obvious what it is. It's the picture of the world. And in our world, many of us, we spend so much time and energy trying to squeeze and fit our life into the mold of the world. In fact, the world and our culture is constantly telling us, hey, we gotta try harder, be successful. You know, you gotta chase, it's telling us to chase happiness. It's all these things, you gotta hustle harder. It's this idea of the survival of the fittest, where the strong, you know, thrives and the weak dies. And so we have this idea, and the world is constantly pushing us. And so we try to jam ourselves into the world picture. We try to fit in. We try to fit in with the world. And no matter how we try, no matter how much we try to squeeze in, maybe it's like, hey, maybe it's the job. This is the job that will help me find the satisfaction. Or maybe you're looking for the right person in your life, and you're hoping that right person will bring completeness to your life. Or maybe if I make enough money, and if I have enough money, then that will fit where my life will be complete. And so we work hard over and over again to try to fit into a world where the world will give us completeness and satisfaction. But the more we try to fit in the world, the more that we become discontent and not satisfied, the more we come short of being complete. Why? Because you and I were never made to fit into this world. We weren't made to fit into this. So many people, even religious people, have tried an entire life trying to squeeze their life into this world. But here's the reality for every one of us here. We weren't made for this world. We were made for a different story, a better story. We were made for a divine story. The Bible says in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, written by Paul, the Apostle Paul. He wrote this book to Christians that were living in the country that we know now as Greece. And so Ephesus was the little town in Greece, and he wrote this letter. Notice what Paul says. He said this in verse 4. He said, even before he made the world, before God made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ. Now, there's some thoughts here that I want to just unpack really, really quick. First of all, you and I were created by God. But number two, you were created on purpose. The shape of your life, the gifting, the wiring of your life, God created you on purpose. There's no mistakes. There's no, whoops, I didn't make God wrong or God right. I messed her up. No, God made you on purpose. That's the second thought. Here's the third point. God made you for a purpose. He chose you. He had made you for a purpose. Before the world began, I love that, right? God had you in mind. Before you were looking for him, he was already looking for you. God has been pursuing you before you realized you were being pursued. He is hunting you. He is looking for you. And one of the biggest lies that the world tells us is that we must find our worth in what we do. It's not about me. That's what the world teaches, about what we do. But the truth is that your identity began when you understand the one who created you. That's when you begin to discover who you are. The same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he has been seeking you. Even in your lowest moments, even in your sinful mess, God has never given up on you. He says, God, you don't know me. God, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. I have messed up my life. My peace is broken. My peace is twisted. And no matter what your life past has become, your past, my friend, has never disqualified you from God. In fact, I love this thought here. Your past may explain you, but your past does not define you. Only God defines you. God is in the business of taking your broken piece and restoring it and bringing it back to him and give you a new purpose. See, God says, you're mine. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You belong to me. You are a piece of my bigger story. Notice in verse number 2 how God defines us. He said, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you, two words, grace and peace. Grace and peace. The word grace, it means God's undeserved kindness. In other words, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of our mess, in spite of our sinful behavior, God loves us in spite of us. He still loves you. He still wants a relationship with you. That's what grace is. Peace. That peace is that deep, lasting wholeness. It's not the absence of conflict. You know, we talk about world peace. That's not what this peace is talking about. This is the presence of Jesus. Grace and peace is what God wants to give you. I'm so thankful that it's not the word shame and guilt. That's what the world does. The world gives us shame and guilt. Maybe you spent years being defined by your past. Shame and guilt. You've been defined by something you did. Maybe you've been defined by a divorce. Maybe you've been defined by an addiction. Maybe you've been defined by a failure. Maybe you've been defined by what people said about you. The world wants to define you in your worst moment. And your biggest regrets. The world wants shame and guilt in your life. But in Christ, you're not defined by shame and guilt. You're defined by grace and peace. And this is the key. You're not defined by what you did, but you're defined by what Jesus has done. Jesus, he stepped into our world. He steps into our world and he rewrites the story of our lives. He said to you and me, he said, you are not your failures. You are not your mistake. He said to us, hey, you are not your divorce. God said, hey, you are not your addictions. You are not what you did. You are not what others said about you. You are not what the world has labeled you. You are who God says you are. What does God say that we are? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, possibly my favorite verse in all of Ephesians. Bible said in verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good thing that he planned for us long ago. How long ago? Before the world began. He wants to restore the brokenness in our lives. And he said, hey, you're not just a piece, you're a masterpiece. You have so much value, you're worth so much. You are one of a kind. You're valuable to God. Your piece, your masterpiece has so much value. You know how valuable it is? All you have to do is look at the cross. He died on the cross for you. You're one of a kind. You're a Picasso, a Monet. I mean, you're valuable. You have so much worth that you matter so much to God. You're not just a piece. You're God's masterpiece. And for some of you, you've been trying to live for this, trying to serve the world, trying to find your way in. You know, we don't fit here. And there may be some of us here today that need to flip the script, to change the board from the world to the picture of God. To change the board to the picture of Jesus. Not in the world, but in the hands of God. This is where your life fits. This is where you and I belong. This is the picture of rescue, the picture of restoration, the picture of relationship. And this is an image of a man who's drowning being rescued. And in a nutshell, this is the gospel. You see, all of us, we weren't just lost. I would say we were drowning in our sins, without hope, trying desperately to keep our head above the waves. And the more we tried, the more that we struggled, the more we were slipping down deeper and deeper in the waters. The more we tried to seek the approval of man, the approval of the world, the more we try to do more religious stuff, the more we find ourselves more hopeless. And this is where the gospel enters into our story. This is where Jesus, he didn't give up on us. He came down to us. I'm so thankful that we have a God who was not distant. I'm so thankful for a God that did not wait for us to swim out of our mess. He came down and reached out for us. And he did that by the way of the cross. He died for you and for me. He didn't have to. Lived a perfect life. But he took our place on the cross. He died. The Bible said they buried him. They thought it was over. They just didn't know that Sunday was coming. And 3 days later, he rose again. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it tells us that he, because of that resurrection, that he had the power and the strength to pull us out of our mess. We sang the song, because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future. My friend, life is worth the living just because he lives. He lives. The resurrection is proof that death doesn't have the final say. The resurrection is proof that shame and guilt don't have the final say. The resurrection tells us that we weren't just created for survival. We were made so much more for that. We were made for him, for a relationship. This, my friend, is where all of us belongs. In the grip of God's grace. In the center of God's love. In the rescue that only Jesus can provide. And so this morning, two boards, two pictures. Picture of the world and the picture of Jesus. The world where you don't belong and the picture of Jesus where you will find completeness and satisfaction for your life. And I think this morning all of us here have been holding on to that puzzle piece, that missing piece in your hand, right? And maybe you've been holding on to it the whole time, maybe it's, you know, somewhere, but you've got this puzzle piece. And perhaps, maybe for the first time this morning, there's someone here that says, you know, Scott, I've been holding this missing piece in my hand. And I just realized for the very first time, I am the missing piece. I am missing from God's rescue. I have been placing my life into the world that never satisfies. I've been putting my life in the world of religions. And the more I try to do this and try to do that, it never satisfies. And today I realize that I'm missing in God's rescue. And you might be hearing, says, God, what do I do? And let me tell you what God says. God says, hey, place your peace, place your life in my hands. And I will put it where it belongs. Here's what I'm not saying you do. This is not more religious stuff that you do. This is simply trusting in God by giving your life to him. Salvation is not something that we earn. Salvation is something that we received. I have a question here that probably it is the most important question of your life. More important than the question that if you're married and the pastor at the platform, the officiant, he says, hey, do you take this woman to be your wife? Do you take this husband to be your... It's more important than that question. The most important question is this. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Have you personally received him? Not earn him, received him. By the way, I'm not asking the question, do you go to church? I'm not asking the question, have you been baptized? That's not the question I'm asking. I'm not asking the question, are you a good person? That's not the question. The question I'm asking is this. Have you personally received Jesus as your Savior? Have you said yes to him? Because it's all about what he did for us. That's why we can't earn it. He did it for us. He died on the cross for you. The Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace, there's that word again, God's undeserved kindness. For it is by grace. What is grace? This is the picture of grace. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Important word here, not through works, not through something that you earn, but by simple, childlike faith. You know what faith is? It's reaching your hand above the water and say, God, save me. God, save me. I know that you can. I am drowning in my sin. I'm drowning in my life. Pull me out. There's nothing that you can do but to simply receive his hand. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourself. Not something that you can do. It is a gift. It's a gift of God. This is the gift. Not by works. Not by something you do. Lest you boast about it. And you're here this morning. He says, God, I am the missing piece. And today, by faith, I want to receive him. You say, how do I do it? The Bible says all we have to do is simply cry out to the name of Jesus. A prayer is simple as this. God, I am a sinner. My peace is broken. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again for me. Now, I'm tired of trying to fit into the world. I'm tired of trying to earn my way to heaven. And God, I am placing my puzzle, my piece. I'm giving you my life and make it yours. I want to be a child of God. I want to be not just a piece, but I want to be your masterpiece. And today, for some of you here this morning, this is your moment. This is your moment where you give your life, your peace to God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, he says, Scott, you've been talking to me. I'm the missing piece. And I'm missing Jesus. And this morning, I want to give my hand and receive him. I want to be in the grip of his grace, the center of his love, the rescue that only he can provide. God, you're talking to me. And if that is you this morning, what we do in the next couple of minutes will be the most important thing that you've ever done. The most important thing. Where simply where you're sitting at, you can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, where you give him your peace, your life. And you can do that right where you're sitting. I'm going to pray a prayer called a sinner's prayer or the prayer of salvation. And I'll say some words, a few words at a time, and you can repeat it quietly in your heart. Remember, it's not the words that you say, but your heart towards Jesus. You're not saying it to me. You're not saying it to nobody else. You're saying it to a holy God who is present with us right now. He's been chasing you, pursuing you for this moment where you say yes to him. And you can pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've blown it. And I need you. I need you to come to my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. I want to become a child of God, a masterpiece. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. And today, I'm a child of God. I give you my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking. He says, God, I just pray that prayer. And I ask Jesus into my life. And if you pray that prayer, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to have people look at you. Just me and you. Just me and you. But if you pray that prayer and says, God, today I realize I was the missing piece. And I gave my life to Jesus, and I pray that prayer. Will you raise your hand? Raise your hand. That's your hand. That's your hand all over the place. That's your hand back there. That's a couple hands back there. That's your hand all over here. Praise the Lord. Good. That's your hand way over here. I see your hand way over there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Anyone else? I see your hand right there on my left. Anyone else? I wonder how many Christians in the room. Says, Scott, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. But I have been backsliding to the world. I've been trying to pursue the things that the world has to offer. I'm telling you, I've been dissatisfied again. And today, I want to reprioritize my life and start pursuing the one who made me, the one who created me, the one who has my identity, the one who has my purpose. And today, I want to reprioritize on this Easter Sunday for him. If that's you, you're a Christian, we raise your hand. You raise your hand. That's your hand right here. I see several hands. I see several hands. So I see your hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Easter service and for people that raised their hand, for those who receive you as their Lord and Savior. Oh, happy day that they made that decision for you. God, those who are Christian who reprioritize their life to live for you again. Oh, God, we ask you help us as we celebrate the rest of our day what the resurrection of Jesus means to us. In Jesus' name, amen.